You're listening to a podcast from 702.
702. Series Edition.
Yolanda Kuba is the founder of the Mentorship Boardroom, joining me now. Hello, Yolanda.
Hey, how are you doing, Africa?
Very well, thank you very much. How are you this Tuesday afternoon?
I am awesome, thank you very much.
Let's, I suppose, recap for a moment. This is episode 3 out of a series of 4. Today, we're going to be seeing mentorship in action. We'll introduce you in a moment to Kansani Baloyi, who was brave enough to put up a hand and say, I would like to be a part of this. Let's remind listeners for a second who perhaps have missed out of episode 1 and 2, why mentorship is important.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, the first thing is it is the shortcut to career development or entrepreneurship development, giving you access and actually allowing you to accelerate your own ambition. And for me, I mean, like listening to all the comments that I've had and looking at the comments that I've had in the last couple of days, at least the last couple of weeks, a lot of people saying, you know, I wasn't actually clear that I actually have to be a lot clearer about what I wish for myself, right? And then secondly, the path to attaining that goal is an important kind of piece of the puzzle that I need to get right. I have to think of myself as an athlete who needs a coach in order to actually be at their best game. And that's really what mentorship is about, is how do we bring the best version of yourself, first in the form of inspiration and self-belief, confidence, and then ultimately the courage to take action and the appropriate action. So we don't want someone to go into 10 different steps in order to discover that they should have taken step 5 or step 8 only. This is really a way of shortcutting your way to success.
And I suppose an important element of that is that you are then engaging with a person like Yolanda, who has already gone through a similar process and has learned from the pitfall. So why recreate the wheel when there's somebody who's already gone through the problem, who might be able to say, hey, red flag, this is an issue that's coming up around the corner, start preparing for it now, or this is how you can avoid it altogether.
Absolutely. That's one of the most important things is, if you're going to shortcut the long road, is actually by shortcutting it by going through someone or asking someone who has done it before. And that's what mentorship is really about. It's really, sometimes it's not necessarily someone who's been on exactly the same road as you, but in terms of just thought process and clarity in terms of their own journeys, where you think you can apply it in your own kind of circumstance. Last week, we did also talk about the different models of mentorship, like one-on-one, one-on-many, many-on-one, and so on and so on. And basically saying to people that you must be clear also on what you want to achieve as an individual when you go into a mentorship relationship. So the clearer you are, the better the outcome will be as well.
Let's bring in Kansani now. Kansani Baloyi, you were brave enough to put up your hand and say, Azania, please, I'd like to be part of this process. Why? Why did you want to offer yourself up as a mentee for this process? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to everyone, and thank you for the opportunity. The reason why I put up my hand is because, one, I believe it's important to learn from others. We learn every day, and in learning, that's where we grow. So from the journey that I've heard and to where I am now, I still believe that I still have the potential to learn and to become a better version of myself.
And that would be key, right? Because you have to, ultimately, the only way a mentor could be of any help is if you as a mentee acknowledges that I need help in these areas and how I can be a better version of myself.
Exactly.
All right. Yolanda, I will now hand over to you because you're about to demonstrate in a very truncated way how a mentorship typical scenario, I suppose, will unfold. Over to you.
Yeah. Perfect. Thank you. So normally we would start off with actually literally asking the mentor, the mentee, or agreeing with the mentee, the kind of mentorship model that they are comfortable with so that we are both aligned and there's no expectation gap. So in this case, this is a once off and a quick one edit to go through it. So I'll try and go through it as quickly as possible. I did have a call with Kensani literally about an hour ago, just to get a little bit of a sense of who she is so that we can shortcut the actual process. So to start off with, Kensani, please tell me a little bit about yourself and maybe pick out three important things that you think are important for me to know as part of this conversation.
All right. Hi, Yolanda. Thank you so much for the opportunity. So Kensani is a very ambitious woman. I've been in the financial sector all my life, and I am very passionate in helping people in terms of from my journey in the financial institution. I've learned the importance of, one, understanding their finances and also bringing it to my personal space where I had to use the same model to reboot and recover and regain myself in terms of our financial status, not just personally, but as well as a family unit. Two, I'm always willing to learn. I go into different things. For instance, in my journey as well, career-wise, apart from the financial institution, I've gone to where they say it's a men's world, where I worked on the roads, installing guardrails. So for me, the most important thing, the very first important thing, is to learn. And I'm always open to learning. I'm always open to being guided to where I would eventually see myself as successful and having attained anything or something for myself. The third level is I so aspire to be one of those should I call it trailblazers in entrepreneur? I see there are so many opportunities in the entrepreneur world, knowing very well that it is not an easy world as well, but I do believe that I have what it takes to build a sustainable business for myself that will contribute to the economy of our country and Africa as a whole, as well as, you know, taking my fellow citizens along with me in that business, not just the business that is going to financially benefit me, but knowing that whatever that they will be benefiting from the business or the companies, they will also be benefiting their families, and the chain goes a long way.
Thanks, Kensani, for that. So, what are you trying to achieve in the next 5 years first, and then also in the next, let's say, 1 year as well?
Okay, I'll start in the next 1 year. Currently, I'm in an ECD space in the last 3 months, and I've seen myself learning a lot, and there's still much room for me to learn in it. And I believe that I am capable and I can start an ECD program or open an ECD company that is going to assist the communities around both that working day and those that are working their night shifts. Because currently, if you look at the space, there isn't any offering to people that are working night shifts. And you'd often ask yourself or wonder, where do they take their children to? Others, they have to take their kids to their families where they don't get to see their kids either once a month or every after 3 months, depending on where they get time. So I think at the point in time, just for a year, the ECD space for me, it's the one that I think and I believe that I am currently taking steps to discovering the new me in something that I've never done. But looking at 5 years to come, really, I see myself in the business world, building sustainable business that, as I said, that will contribute not just to myself, but to the economy and the citizens of South Africa.
Okay. Kensani, I mean, one of the things that I see here is that one of your aspirations is really to also be in risk and also in compliance. Is that still something you're passionate about as well?
Oh, yes. Like I spoke about my journey in the financial institution. In terms of risk, a lot of us and looking at where we are currently with this pandemic, we are in trouble in terms of our finances, and not understanding your financial background as an individual, it ends up landing a lot of us into trouble. Looking at the financial risk where I'm coming from, I have learned a lot in terms of one, having to understand their financial position, having to understand how to deal with their debt. A lot of us, when we are in debt, we run away from it. That is the risk part of it. And looking at compliance, the other day I was just thinking to myself that when you go to the bank now, when you have to verify yourself for FICA, we no longer request for the FICA documents. But, you know, there is more to it than just those documents that we require. So compliance as well, it's very important, and it helps us to safeguard our financial institutions. It helps us to safeguard even the customers that belongs to the financial institutions, and also having that understanding, bridging that gap between the financial institutions as well as the public or the community. Because a lot of people, they don't understand why I need to be compliant. They don't understand why I need to be giving the financial institution this document and that document. Therefore, when we, in terms of compliance, for me, my passion is at the point of educating people, understanding, because we also learn as the government passed those legislations to say, in terms of safeguarding ourselves, this is what we need to do. So as we learn, it's important for us to also educate our community so that there isn't that frustration where people just come and believe that, you know what, the banks are just, or financial institutions are just making our lives difficult. So okay. I do believe that there is that importance of that bridging that gap as well.
Okay, awesome. So, I mean, listening to you, what I hear you say is basically you're passionate about entrepreneurship. You're also passionate also about risk and compliance and really your old world, if I can call it that, which is the banking kind of space. Yeah. And really, I mean, I guess in the if I ask you a question, what do you think you can do in the next 3 days, in the next three weeks, and in the next 3 months to achieve what you want to achieve within actually getting yourself into a position from something that you're passionate about, which is this risk and compliance kind of space, as well as the entrepreneurship piece? Or maybe let's park the entrepreneurship for now. Let's focus on one because we don't have time. But if I ask you, what can you do in the next 3 days, in the next 3 weeks, and in the next 3 months to achieve what you want to achieve within that space, what would that be?
Firstly, on my space or from my side, I think it's important for one, because I'm no longer in the financial industry, but to put together a vehicle that will propel me to be able to give that offering to the community. Because I do believe that it is not only within the banking space that I can offer my expertise. It is just for me to build that portfolio, make myself known out there, and be out there to assist the community with it. And I think with being given the right tools and be guided to the right direction, it is possible for me to can put together in the next 3 weeks or even a month.
Okay. So in the next 3 days, if I challenge you to say you should be actually maybe thinking about, or maybe you want to think about, who are the people that you can speak to that are within that space, within a compliance space, and then also within the entrepreneurial space, the space that you want to actually be in, and actually reach out to them and actually have a conversation with them. Do you think that is doable within the next 3 days?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So why don't we have that as a plan? So maybe let's create a list of maybe two or three people within that space that you can talk to as the first kind of action point. And maybe you said in the next 3 weeks, thinking about the vehicle that would be appropriate for you to actually start to thinking about the journey towards what you wanna actually achieve, and put that in writing
in a way where you are able to actually be clearer about what is the unique selling proposition that you want to actually present to people that are in these kind of financial difficulties. Do you think that is doable?
Yes, it is. It is.
Okay. And then maybe in the next 3 months, being able to launch what you want, having had a brand plan, a business plan, and actually having interacted with the right people to actually be able to help you with that. Do you think that is also possible?
Yes, that is great.
Okay.
That is very
Cool. Okay, perfect. Africa, I know we don't have much time, so I'm going to end it here with Kensani for today. But just to give you a sense of what we've been through with Kensani so that everyone actually is clear. Kensani gave me exactly what she's passionate about right up front and what actually drives her and moves her. The second thing is, what are her long-term and short-term ambitions, right? And then the third thing is, what is she then trying to do? And all I did is help help her get clarity through using the 333 method to actually help her kind of direct her more quicker into the path of where she wants to go to. And in fact, one of the things that I did do this morning when I saw her CV is actually call NetBank, the head of retail and business banking at NetBank this morning, who is a lovely lady, actually, who actually said to me, Yolanda, I would be happy to have a conversation with Kensani just to actually take her through the thinking of how I think about risk and what are the potentials within that space. Her name is Nozizwe Chabuse. Wow. And she's willing to actually dedicate some time to you, Kensani. She will call you herself, and you can have an hour or two with her where she can actually have that conversation with you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Absolute pleasure. I hope that gives you a sense of what normally happens in a mentorship kind of platform. This was a quick one. So it's normally quite long and actually a lot more detail, but really it's about understanding the mentee and better actually understanding what their aspirations are and articulating it back to them and having an agreement and then trying to help them actually come up with a plan that makes them achieve what they actually need to achieve. And actually also connecting, and that's what I did at the end, right? Reaching out to someone I don't know at NetBank and basically saying, you know, using my own equity and saying, I need you to actually speak to someone else. She was actually ecstatic. So I'm really, really happy that Nozizwe from NetBank actually, I mean, she's head of risk at RBB. So yeah, it's someone who you would have worked with maybe because she used to be head of retail in your region as well, I can tell you.
Yes.
All right, Yolanda, that was
thank
absolutely
so
more
much.
Than helpful. And I imagine Kensani will take a lot away from there, but not only Kensani, but everybody else who was answering the questions that you were asking. I know I was doing that exercise and I've identified one or two things that could help me. Kensani, thank you very much for being brave enough and for allowing yourself to be subjected to this process in such a public platform. And we certainly wish you all the best with your meeting with Nozizwe from NetBank.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. I really appreciate that. Thank you to 702 and thank you to you, Yolanda.
Pleasure.
Kensani Maloyi, and of course Yolanda Kuba is the founder of the Mentorship Boardroom. You can go to the mentorshipboardroom.com to register both as a mentor as well as a mentee. Before I let you go, Yolanda, perhaps can I ask, what are you and Azania going to be talking about next week?
Next week, we actually are going to be talking to someone who was my mentor and also someone who actually is my current mentee. And we are going to be having a conversation about what value did they add to Yolanda? What value did they think they added to me? And also from a mentee perspective, what value does the person actually derive from the mentorship that we actually do? So that people can have a sense firsthand of people who are experiencing mentorship from both sides, right? Mentee and mentor as well.
Can't wait. I'll certainly be tuned in. Thank you very much, Yolanda Gcoba, founder of the Mentorship Boardroom.